This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Parshas Balak. Look at Parshas Balak, we'll notice that it has a phenomenon that is unique almost from all the Parshas in the Torah. And that is, you do not find one pei or samach throughout Parshas Balak. Until all the way at the end, after the whole episode with Balak. Very interesting. There's not one stopping place in the entire parsha. Not one pei, not one samach. Something we need to direct our attention towards. What is the reason for this? Why are there no stopping places in the whole parsha? Just one, straight through the whole thing. And the Chafetz Chaim took notice of this phenomenon, and it's said over in the name of the Chafetz Chaim, that here you have an individual, like Balak, God speaks to him in a manner that only Moshe Rabbeinu had.
And Bilam.
Bilam, thank you. His donkey speaks to him. He's seeing open miracles. God himself is coming to him time and again. Batihi olav ruach Hashem. You'd think he'd be a changed man. You'd think he would become a better person. You'd think it would do something to him. No. He's the same person. He's the same Russia from the beginning. How's that possible? God speaks to him. The donkey speaks to him. There's only one answer. He never stopped and thought for one moment, what is going on over here? He never allowed himself to have the hispaininos, the contemplation about what is happening in his life. And people could see open miracles. People could see the most astounding things. If they never pause, right? We know the purpose of the pei and the samach. Chazal tell us is kadei litain revach l'moshe ben parsha l'parsha l'hisboinein. The purpose of a pei and a samach was to give Moshe opportunity to stop and think between one inyan and the next. Bilam never paused. He never stopped. He never took a moment to contemplate what was happening. Rabbi, what we're going to do today is look into another reason why there's not one pei or samach in the entire Parshas Balak. Okay. Says the Gemara in Baba Basra. The Gemara is talking about the Chaf Dalet Sefer Kodesh, and the Gemara wants to know who wrote the various Svarim. Says the Gemara, Umi Kasvan, Moshe Kasav Sifrei, Moshe wrote his Sefer, Parshas Bilam, and Parshas Bilam, V'Iyav, and Sefer Yav. And the question is obvious, what do you mean, if Moshe wrote his Sefer, what's his Sefer? The Torah. Do we have to say Moshe Kasav Sifrei, and Parshas Tazria? We have to say Moshe Kasav Sifrei, you know, and also, you know, the last three psukim of Devarim, of course. Moshe Kasav Sifrei. The Torah is Torahs Moshe, Chamisha Chomshei Torah, of which part is Parshas Bilam. Anyone who says even one word of Bilam, of Parshas Balak, is not Minat Torah, is not Bikiras, right? Somebody who claims that the one time it says Vayomer Balak El Bilam is not Minat Torah, he picks up a cup of wine, it's Yayin Nesach. So what do you mean? What does the Gemara mean? Moshe Kasav Sifrei Parshas Bilam. What, Parshas Bilam is not part of the Torah? So Rashi, Afina Rashi addresses this, says Rashi, Parshas Bilam, Nivuasai, the prophecy of Bilam, Meshalav, and the parables of Bilam, Afal Pisha Einon Sarche Moshe V'Torasai, even though technically they're not needed for the halachas of the Torah, to say they're mice of the story of Bilam, unclear. Well, you know, well, what the Gemara means. What does Rashi mean? Even though they're not Sarchei Moshe, we mean they're not Sarchei Moshe. If we don't have Parshas Bilam, the Sefer Torah is possible, right? If, let's say, one Yud is missing in Parshas Bilam, you take the Sefer Torah, you put it back in the Aron.
Awesome.
So what does Rashi mean? What does the Gemara mean? Moshe, Kasav, Sifrei, U Parshas Bilam. So what we're going to learn today is a major essay that was written by Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin, and it's printed in Shalas Tshuvas Maharil Diskin at the end of the Sefer.
What is Sifra with Barim?
What?
Sifra
is presumably is the Torah. The Torah.
Why? Because the rest of the Torah is Hashem's Torah, not Moshe's Torah.
So then what happened? What about the Torah itself? That the Gemara is not talking about? So the Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin, he wrote, if you look over here, he didn't want to leave the page blank. So he wrote, they printed what they call Maimar Nifla, that Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin said in honor of a Sim HaTorah that they made in the year Tafresh Yudbeis, which was, what? 1852. Okay, Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Vayira. On this Gemara, Moshev Kasav Sifrei uParshas Bilam. Nidchak Rashi. Rashi troubles himself. The Parshas Bilam ain't a Mekal Torah. Parshas Bilam is not really included in the Torah Shehu Melitzos because it is merely parables, Umishalim, Shamar Bilam, and the different stories that Bilam said. Vani Tama asked Rabbi Shmuel of Diskin, I can't understand what the man's talking about. Halayamru Perek Chelek. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, De'af Ois Achas Minatoira Hamevazeo Nikri Apikoris. Someone who demeans even one letter in the Torah is an Apikoris. Menashe Paka Bagoda Shel Doifi. Menashe was not because he demeaned Agadata. And the Rambam himself tells us that the Kedusha of the Aser Sadiris is no more than the words Macha and Tevach Gacham and Macha. So what does Rashi mean? What does the Gemara mean? Moshe Kasav Sifrei and Sefer Bilam. Sefer Bilam is Torah as much as Shema Yisrael Hashem Lekeinu Hashem Acha. So the Ritva in the Ein Yaakov, he wants to say that when the Gemara says Parshas Bilam, it's not talking about Parshas Balak. Right, we have Parshas Balak. What's Parshas Bilam? Parshas Bilam. Oh, if you could only see Parshas Bilam. It's a big, fat book. You know, you go down to the to one of these bureaucratic offices and you need to get a deed of a building that was built before 1950. So you go into this big room and you pull out like this notebook, this loose leaf, you know, that's like 10 feet by 10 feet. And you have to speak to this, you know, special wizard and he'll give you the key, right? That's the way it is today. And, right, there's something called Parshas Bilam. This is old document which tells you all the gory details of Bilam's kishuf and his association with Balak and Bilam and all the different karbanas he brought and all the witchcraft he used. It's a long book. It's a long story. But it's a long legend. Who wrote it? Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it. Where is it? We don't have it anymore. We don't have it. But the Gemara is telling us Moshe wrote the Torah, and he also wrote a big sefer called Parshas Bilam, which we don't have anymore. Look where the Ritva says. This is the Ritva on the Ein Yaakov, Parshas Bilam. Nirin divrei ha'omrin. It would appear likely, like those who say she'ein zu Parshas Bilam shaksuva b'Torah. This is not Parshas Bilam that it says in our Torah. Da'ayak goes baruch hu kasav k'shar ha'Torah ela parsha b'fnei atzmai hu shekasav v'herech ba b'yoser. This is something that Moshe wrote. He was very lengthy about it. They used to have it. You don't have it. You know, if you would go to someone with a big library a few thousand years ago, on a top shelf, he would have a prominent display of Parshas Bilam. But nowadays, we don't have it anymore. By the way, Rav Menachem Tziuni, who's Rav Menachem Tziuni? Rav Menachem Tziuni was one of the Kadmoinim. There's a lot of controversy exactly who he was. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about some of his svarim. But in any event, the Shlach HaKadosh quotes this same idea from Rav Nachum Tziuni. It says like this: Isa b'Gemara Parakama de Balvasa Moshe Kasav Sifrei Parshas Bilam b'Sefer Iyov. So he asks the same question: Yitan HaToyen. You may ask, "V'aloi Parshas Bilam b'Chalal HaTorah?" He Parshas Bilam is included in the Torah. Umay Chiddush. V'aloi Davar Yaduhu Shekol HaTorah Mibreishes Alena Kol Yisomi Piv Shal Kolish Baruch Hu Lozno Shel Moshe. So what does the Gemara mean? Parshas Bilam, he wrote besides the Torah, Parshas Bilam is part of the Torah. Elada, says Rav Menachem Tziuni, you should know, ki ksuvim kan bekoitzer b'inyan Bilam. Parshas Balak is only, you know, the cliff notes of what happened with the Maisa of Bilam. Ovenevuasai ol Yisrael lefisha. The Torah doesn't tell you about all the different, you know. Yeah, the main points, just the headlines. What the Torah says exactly, you know, how many rats Bilam threw into his stew to make his kishuv. We don't need to know. What do we need to know that for, right? We need to know how many lizard tails he threw in. Well, we don't. All the different kishuv that he used, right? All the different hocus-pocus, the Torah is not marach about, right? Just like it doesn't say exactly what kind of Avodah Zarah the Dor Ener served, you know, big Buddha, small Buddha with a big stomach, the little. We don't need to know that. They served that by the Zohar. We have to know how many eyes they had. That's irrelevant. Shloi Sidra by Hakasav Klal. But we know that Avraham Avinu wrote something called Masechta Avodah Zarah that had 400 prakim. Talked about all the Avodah Zarahs in the world. The Chibur by Avraham Avinu Avisham Sefer Shayu by Tes Prakim. The Gemara says Avraham Avinu's Masechta Avodah Zarah was 400 prakim. V'chein b'machemes Midyan. Is the Torah Mairich in Machemes Midyan exactly how Bilam flew on his broom? You know, how long the broom was, how much, you know, what kind of gasoline he put in his broom. We don't need to know this kind of information. It just says, Shahay Mafriach Machem Midyan Ba'avir, they're flying in the air, V'lu Parech Imoyim, V'lu Leit Tzitzakar She'epilim, if not for the tzitz, V'naf L'chalolim. So there are a lot of things we don't need to be Marech about, but it doesn't mean they're not documented somewhere. B'nir Midas Chazal. So what do we learn from Chazal? Ki Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom Chiber Sefer Levad. Moshe Rabbeinu authored a separate work, Levan Rashi Katzim Torah, aside from what he wrote in the Torah, Ulashem Sefer, Ulasham Sefer Kolayim Barach, and there he speaks at length of exactly what happened with Bilam. Exactly what Bilam did with his eye. You know, he closed it, he opened it, there it says exactly what Bilam did. V'nevada Sefer, it was lost. K'may Shenevdu Sor Machir, right? Maybe one day someone will go to an auction and they'll find they're auctioning off, right? Sefer Bilam. But right now we don't have it. Then he says something absolutely astounding. Just like we lost other Sfarim that were among the 24 books, I cannot vouch for that, I don't know what that means. Because of the Tsaras and the length of the Golas that went, Asher Tavanubai. Ah, fine. By the way, based on this, Rav Menachem Tziuni, the Yeshua Ismalkai offers a very novel suggestion to explain a Rambam. The Rambam lists as two separate categories one who denies the Nevuah of Moshe and a Kaifer Bataya. So the Mishu Smalka asks, Rabbi Shu Mikutna asks, what do you mean someone who denies the Nevuah of Moshe? So that's already a Kaifer Bataya. Why do we have to have two separate categories? Kaifer Bataya and someone who's Makhish the Nevuah of Moshe. It's the same thing. If you're denying the Nevuah of Moshe, you're obviously a Kaifer Bataya. Says Yeshua Smaka, no. It's two separate things. One thing is what? The Torah proper. And then there's another thing. The Nevuah of Moshe. What was the Nevuah of Moshe? For example, Sefer Bilam. Someone who would claim Sefer Bilam was not authoritative, he would also be an Apikairis. But he's not Nichlal in the Kaifer Batar. That's what he says. Why does the Rambam have to make two separate categories? Makrish Nevuasai. And Kaifer Batara, the same thing, Dehu Nevuasa Shamaisha. So he says, maybe you'll say, Kaifer, Makrish Nevuasa Shamaisha is referring to before the Torah was codified, in the Midbar, if you had a Jew who questioned Moshe's Nevuah, like Kairach, he wouldn't be a Kaifer Batara, he would be someone who's Makrish Nevuasa Shamaisha. So Yeshua Zmanko said, that's very doichik to say that the Rambam is giving you a gather of Apikairis for the Midbar. The Rambam's writing for all times, for afterwards. So therefore he says, three lines from the end, V'ulai ha-kavana al-sefer Iyov. Perhaps the Rambam's separate gather of Makhash and Vasil Shamaisha is referring to either Sefer Iyov, which was written by Moshe, Shekasu Moshe Rabbeinu, Ay Dekai al-sefer Bilam, Shekasu Moshe Lefi Perishat Tziyuni, Huva Bishla and Parshas Balak. So what we're learning is that aside from the Torah itself, which Moshe wrote, he wrote other works. Iyov, we're fortunate to have. Say for Bilam, we don't have it anymore.
Okay. Moshe Emes, Musaroso Emes. So it's sort of like not even looking at Hashem so much. Moshe in his Torah.
Oh, see that?
So we see from that Gemara with the Bluey Korah.
Oh, so you want to say Moshe Emes is like Parshas Bilam and say for Eiv and then Torah Emes. Okay, very good.
That was the Arab. The Arab was.
Okay, that's right. Rav Barbacha. Okay.
Well, Bilam.
Just we're going to interrupt the regular share. Just there's a brief, very interesting part from the Vilna Gaon, where Bilam says to Balak, he says like this: Lo yucha laver es pi Hashem alekai la'asos ketana agedayla. And I can't do anything small. I can't do anything big. So the question is, obviously, if he can't do anything small, he certainly can't do anything big. What does he have to say? I can't do anything small. I can't do anything big. So the Gra brings down a Medrash Pliya that says, on the words, Vayasam Hashem Davar, Bifi Bilam, One opinion is that God put a fish hook in his mouth and he closed his mouth. And another, and though that reflects the words Ma'akaiv Laikabaikel. And one opinion is God brought more words out of the mouth of Bilam than he intended to say, and that is explained in the words Ma'azaim Loizam Hashem. So exactly what does this mean? God put a fish hook in his mouth. God put words in his mouth. What does this mean? What does Bilam mean? I can't do anything small. I can't do anything big. So the Vilna Gaon says like this. We know Hashem has two names, Elohim and Yudkei Vavkei. Elohim is what? Din. But if you just say the first two letters of Elohim, Aleph and then Lamed, Kael, is Rachamim. Kael is Rachamim. Then you have Yudkei Vavkei. What is that? Rachamim Gedoilim, complete. But Yud K, if you just take the first two letters, that's Din. So Elohim, which is Din, if you take the first two letters, it becomes Rachamim. Yud K, Vav K, which is Rachamim, if you take the first two letters, becomes Din. So the Vilna Gaon says like this. What Bilam intended to do is he wanted to influence Klal Yisrael with the Midas HaDin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he wanted to say Elohim. God put a fish hook in his mouth, so instead of saying Elohim, only the first two letters came out. Kale. That's what Bilam says. Ma'ekoiv loikaboy kale. I can't curse what kale doesn't allow me. I wanted to say Elohim. But God put the chika, the p, and what came out was only the first two letters. Then I try to say the yud k to create din on Klal Yisrael, yud k. Then Hashem added with letters to my mouth instead of saying Yud Kei. I said the Yud Kei Vavkei. Hashem. Okay. Chika. That's how I'm translating it. Yeah, you'll have to look up.
I would say like Hakai the who, because fish is not shaleid ayin hara. He wanted to put ayin hara on the Jews, so that's why Hashem gave a fish hook to show that there's no ayin hara by fish.
All right, very good. You'll put it in your sefer. Okay.
You know, I want to wrote something. Someone put it in.
Okay.
Don't tell anyone.
Okay. So back to the question. Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin does not really approve of Rashi's answer. Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin does not approve of this answer that Parshas Bilam refers to the Mishalim of Bilam, even though it's not needed for the Torah. Of course, what does that mean? Of course it's needed for the Torah. It's part of the Torah. If you're kaifer in that, so you're not considered, you're not a Jew. B'chlar, Rabbi Shmuel Leib Diskin wants to know.
So what is he basically doesn't hold that...
He doesn't buy into these answers. That Parshas Bilam is a separate work. Parshas Bilam is it's part of the Torah, but it's not needed for the rest of the Torah. What does that mean?
It's
needed.
It's our Parsha, the one we have.
It's needed, yeah.
So there's no separate Sefer, you're saying.
No, right. So we'll see how he learns. The Chla Rabbi Shmuel Leib Diskin wants to know. We know it says, Lekam the Yisrael Navi Kamosha, right? There was never a Navi like Moshe. So Chazal Darshan, Kamosha, right? The Yisrael, Lekam Avumasam, Lekam Amaniu, Bilam. Which means what? The same way Moshe Rabbeinu was on the highest level of Nevuah, which we call Asbak Lari Hameira, a clear prism. His Nevuah was crystal clear. Bilam experienced the same level of Nevuah. Why in the world? How do we understand that? Bilam, who was a Rasha, he had Ayin Ra, Nefesh Gavaya, Ruach, right? Nefesh Rechava, Ruach Gavaya. He had every bad mida in the world. He was a Chayte Umachti. He experienced the same level of revelation as Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not, as that possible? He was a Rasha Marusha. He was completely sunken in Tuma, in Arayas, right? Hahaske in Hiskanti. He lived with his own animal. And he is seeing the Nevuah Basbaklari HaMeira. It doesn't make any sense. And B'chlal, we have to understand, what does it mean, Asbaklari HaMeira? What does that mean? Other Nevi'im saw it with Asbaklari Sheinimir, but their glasses were cloudy. You know, they tried to clean it off, and they couldn't see things clear. Moshe Rabbeinu had, you know, smudge-free glasses, and his Nevuah was clear. What does that mean? What does that mean? And B'chlal, you know, at the beginning of the parasha, Balak comes to Bilam. He says, Bilam, here. He opens up his wallet. He flashes the cash. He said, curse the Jewish people. So what does Bilam say? I cannot do anything that God does not let me. If you want, I'll go along. The end of the parasha, Balak is fuming at Bilam. What? I thought you were going to curse Klal Yisrael. This is what I got you for? I thought I was going to give you covet. I can't give you any covet. So Bilam says, yeah, that's what I told you from the very beginning. I can't do anything. So, I don't understand. If he told Balak he couldn't do anything, so what did he go for? And if Balak knew he couldn't do anything, what's he getting angry at him for? And Bechlal, if Hashem tells Bilam, don't go,
where'd he go?
How could he go?
Why did he change his mind?
How could he go?
He wanted to.
God told him he can't. But he stam yodes ribanu mecham lemreisam. We don't. Does Chazal don't say that? It seems like Hashem told him not to go, but he was still able to go with permission somehow. So Rabbi Shmuel Leib Diskin says the following. Listen to this. What is the difference between Torah and Nevi'im? This is very fundamental. This is awesome. What is the main difference between Torah and the Nevi'im? Difference is, what was Nevuah? Nevuah consists of two parts. The Navi saw a certain image. For instance, they saw, Yaakov Avinu saw the ladder. Or Yechezkel saw the chayos. Or Yirmiyah saw the stick with that was blossoming with almonds. Okay, so Yaakov sees the ladder. What's the ladder? What's that going to do? A ladder. So if I saw a ladder, maybe I need to fix my attic. Maybe I need to build a second story. Maybe I need to, who knows, a ladder. What does a ladder mean? I mean, you could, you know, if a poet would see a ladder, he could come up with 5 million interpretations. What does a ladder do for you? Oh, Yaakov understood that what's the ladder? The Dalet Golios. I mean, where do you get that from? You know, that would take many years of literary preparation to get a Dalet Golios out of a ladder. The answer is, part of Nevuah is, A, you see the image, B,
interpretation.
You have a certain intuition what the meaning of the image is. So Yaakov Avinu sees the ladder, and then in his nefesh, he has a certain intuition what the meaning of the vision is. Now, what do you mean he sees in his nefesh? Does that mean it's open to interpretation? Somewhat, yes. However the Navi understands the Nevuah, that is the meaning of the Nevuah. Ein shnei Nevi'im misnavim b'signon echad. You could have two Nevi'im, they see the same image. They will not come up with the same interpretation. What do you mean? I thought, besides seeing the image, they have an intuition through Ruach HaKodesh what the meaning is. Yeah, but the intuition is seen and reflected on a screen. In what's the screen? The screen is their nefesh. Their screen is their nefesh. If their nefesh is absolutely pure, completely 100% Kadosh V'Tahar, not only will they see the image, they will see the absolute interpretation from Hashem Himself. But there was only one person in our history whose nefesh was so clean and pure that not only did he see the image, he saw word for word in absolute terms what it meant. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what it means to see Nevuah ba'aspa klariya ha'meira. But other Nevi'im, they were kadosh, v'tahar, kadosh, kadoshim. But nevertheless, they were basar v'dam. And therefore, their Nevuah had a certain, not tainted, but had a certain you. It had a you to it. The same way if your screen is red, you'll see exactly what the image is, but it will take on the red you, a green you, a purple you. The nefesh of a basar v'dam, every human being has a different ink. Kishem shein partzufeyam shavos, kach ein deyoseyam shavos. No Navi will see the same interpretation, not because there's any, they're not changing the message, they're not distorting the message, but that is how the message is affected by their personality and their character traits. Nefesh. And therefore, that is the main difference between Torah and Nevi'im. Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu got the image, and he got the absolute interpretation, crystal clear, with not that there's room for interpretation. There was no you, there was no room to turn it. It was absolute. Other Nevi'im, they got the image, but the interpretation was left to the way they saw it on their nefesh. Comes Bilam HaRasha, and Bilam says, oh, I can't wait until God comes to me. You know why? Because my nefesh is so mituav, is so disgusting, is so perverted, is so sullied, is so dirty, is so black and grimy and slimy, that whatever God will show me, I'll be able to distort it to my liking. God could show me an image of the greatness of Klal Yisrael, But a nevuah is not absolute. It's not the image. It's the interpretation. The same way a dream, hakol hoylech achar hapis, right? Everything follows the interpretation. Same thing with nevuah. Everything follows the interpretation. So Bilam says, God told me lo selech. That's not my interpretation. That's not how I see it. I see it telech. I see it. So therefore, whatever Hashem said to Bilam, Bilam knew that he was capable of distorting and completely mutilating and changing what Hashem meant. Because his nefesh was so disgusting that any message Hashem would give him, any image Hashem would give him, Bilam would be able to distort. And therefore...
Well, this is...
This is Rishula, this is everything I'm saying. Yeah, well, therefore, Hashem had to do something to Bilam that he never did to any other Navi, except for Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem says to him, Bilam, can't trust you. I can't trust you. I can't talk to you. Because if I'm going to say to you a word about Klal Yisrael, that they're this, they're that, your nefesh, which is so slimy, will distort the meaning of the image the way you like. And therefore, I need to make a miracle. I need to give you Aspaklaria Hameira, which means not all of a sudden God gave Bilam's nefesh a car wash, and all of a sudden his neshama became pure. God told Bilam the image, and he told him the precise meaning of it, without any room for interpretation. Hashem showed him the ladder, and he said, it means this, 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 and this.
See more than Moshe?
Exactly like Moshe got the image, and his nefesh was so pure, the interpretation was crystal clear on his nefesh. Hashem comes to Bilam, and he says, Bilam, you will get the image, you will get the interpretation. So it comes out, Rabbi Yisai, that when Hashem spoke to Avram Avinu, what was that called? Aspaklaya Shein Hamira. It was not clear. It was not a clear nevuah. It was not an absolute clear nevuah. It was colored by the U of Avram Avinu's neshama. So then how come the stories of Avram Avinu are in the Torah? They shouldn't be Torah. They should just be on the level of Yeshaya, Yechezkel, Yirmiyahu. The answer is, says Reb Shule Diskin, if you see anything in the Chumash, that means Hashem hazarded over to Moshe Rabbeinu. Then even Avram Avinu saw it with his own eyes. Yeah, Avram Avinu saw with his own eyes three malachim come to him. That doesn't make it Torah. It's not Torah. That's just Nevi'im. What made it Torah is on Har Sinai, Hashem comes to Moshe and he tells him, all of the stories from Bereishis until Moshe Rabbeinu was on the scene. And therefore, what makes something Torah? The only way that something is Torah as opposed to Nevi'im is Moshe sees the image, Moshe sees the interpretation. There's only one exception. There's only one part of the Torah that you didn't need the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu to give it the status of Torah. Says Rabbi Shmuel Leib Diskin, Parshas Bilam. Why? Because normally Moshe was needed to make a Torah, because we needed Moshe to see the vision and Moshe to have the absolute perfect interpretation. But Parshas Bilam, we didn't need Moshe to make a Torah. It was already Torah before Moshe Rabbeinu. How's that possible? Because Bilam saw the image and Bilam got the precise interpretation. All Moshe had to do was copy it over like a scribe. Normally, we need Moshe to see it and to get the interpretation, and it's Moshe's nevuah that makes it Torah. There's only one parsha in the entire Torah that we don't need Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah to make it Torah. Someone else's nevuah can make it Torah. And that's Bilam. All Moshe had to do was copy it. Says Rabbi Shmuel Leib Diskin, that's what the Gemara means. Moshe kasab sifrei. Moshe wrote his sefer, which is the Torah. Parshas Bilam. What do you mean? Parshas Bilam is part of the Torah. You're right, it's part of the Torah. The rest of the Torah, Moshe made it part of the Torah. Parshas Bilam, guess who made it part of the Torah?
Hashem.
Bilam.
No, Hashem.
The way, manner of Nevuah in which Hashem gave it over to Bilam, it was Torah before it was written. All we needed Moshe was to write it. The rest of the Torah, Moshe was needed more than just to write it. We needed Moshe's personality to make it Torah. Bilam, we didn't need Moshe to make it Torah. It was already Torah. By the way, who else says this? Reb Chaim Brisker said this also. Take a look at number 13. B'sifrei Imrei Chen al HaTorah. Sifrei Imrei Chen is a Lamda Shesefer I think it's like a brisker sefer on the Torah. V'chim b'sefer ma'atik eshmo meviyim b'shem ha'goyin v'chayim b'brisk she'parshas bilam ha'isa nechshev es Torah gam koidem she'moshe kasam. Parshas Bilam had a din of Torah even before Moshe wrote it. How's that possible? How's that possible? Because what makes something Torah is Asma Klari HaMe'ira, the absolute interpretation. Parshas Bilam already had the absolute interpretation. All Moshe was needed to be a scribe. Let's take a look at number 11, where the Rambam tells us a little bit about Nevuah. The Rambam says, Hadvarim Shemodin Lenavi B'mara HaNevuah, that which is notified to a Navi in a prophecy, Darach Mashal Moidinai, it's told him in a matter of a parable. And then, after he sees the parable, it's engraved on his heart, the interpretation. B'mara ha-nevuah, v'yedemahu, he knows what it means. Like the suam that Yaakov saw, the malachim going up and down, which is a mashal to the malchios. In other words, Yaakov saw the ladder, and then somehow, through divine intervention, the interpretation was engraved on his heart. The same thing with the chayos that Yechezkel saw, and the staff that Yirmiyah saw. Says Rabbi Sholeib Diskin. Take a look in number 12. Ha'inyan. The way we understand it is like this. Av shemachazos ha'nevuah ba'ilam esalyanim. Even though nevuah originates on high in the lofty world, afapikin hamachazos shuv yeredes la'at la'at. The prophecy trickles down slowly, slowly. Umiskashemes takes on a physical form. Ad shehapisron nimtzab hasagas hanavi. That somehow the interpretation is found in the mind of the navi. Amal yirmezun ba'olam hashafa. What it alludes to, the chemat oz ruchei chazer salav chemat. Kol hatziurim ha'artziim misrashimim benefesh. All pictures are shown on the nefesh. Ve'eino tzir chutz l'nefesh. There is no image outside of the nefesh. The hanavi mistakel benafshe. The navi would look at his nefesh. The odeah ha'pisron. And he would know the interpretation. The afal pikein harizeh doyme l'mabit b'schuchis. It was like looking at glass. Im ha'schuchis tzvua yarek. If the glass had a green hue, adoyme a red, sov, a yellow, tchilis blue, then everything he saw in his nefesh had that you. Yerukim, adomim. Even though he sees, right? If your screen is color to color, you're getting exact, you're seeing it precisely, but it has a certain you to it. Keno inyan benavi. Kol shenaf shezaku ubehira. If the nefesh of the navi was clear, roye hapisroin tzach umetzuchtzach, he would see the interpretation clear and shining. And this is what it means by Moshe Rabbeinu, that he saw Ba'as Ba'klar Yehameira. But when it comes to Bilam, Bilam's nefesh was so sullied and dirty and disgusting that had God left it up to Bilam to even interpret the Nevuah in any way, he would have completely distorted it. He would have modified it, changed it, and therefore Hashem said, I cannot leave your prophecy up to the regular procedures of Nevuah. I'm going to do you and the rest of the world a favor. I'll give you the image, and I'll give you the precise interpretation. What? He got it right. He got it. In other words, he would have liked to change it, but he couldn't, because Hashem wasn't just giving him... He tried to, but Hashem... God put directly in his mouth the interpretation. There was no room. He couldn't modify it. Look in Ois Yod Aleph. Kol ha-Torah kula mikreis Torahs Moshe. The entire Torah is called Torahs Moshe. Av sheyesh ba sipurim shahayim mekubal ba'uma. You'll ask, what do you mean? Why is the Mabel Torahs Moshe? Moshe wasn't there. Why are the destruction of Sodom Torahs Moshe? Moshe wasn't there. Right? Oy shenasa ba yisayis. If it wasn't...
It wasn't done at the time of Moshe.
Afal pikein masro lehakadosh baruch hu kol hamaisa b'yaser yediyos memches panim. When Moshe got the Messiah of what happened in Sodom, he knew what happened more than Lot did. Because God not only gave him the revealed aspects of what happened in Sodom, all the memches panim l'tayra of what happened in Sodom, Hashem gave Moshe. Aside from the fact that in the words that Hashem gave him, About all of these stories, many different secrets were alluded to. V'hakol nigla l'Moshe. V'af nevuah shenemru l'achim. All the prophecies that were given over to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were then chazered over to Moshe. K'mayla Avram, Noach, Yitzchak, Yaakov, chas v'shalom. Like kematik Moshe, some nechtevu b'taras hakadosha. It's a mistake to think that Hashem, it's a mistake to think that Moshe just rode over like a scribe the Mabel. He wasn't a scribe. He was needed to make the Mabel into Torah. The fact that a Mabel happened doesn't make it Torah. It becomes Torah because it happened? No. It only became Torah because Hashem came to Moshe especially and he said, Moshe, there was a Mabel in the times of Noach, and Hashem told him all the details. That Moshe wasn't just writing it down. Moshe was needed to make it Torah.
It was just recording.
He wasn't just recording, right. Ki Moshe zochel astaklari hamira kasher masam la'ashem zoch atabruch hakodesh. Yada hanav oisan v'b'yeserayz. Kanal. There is one exception. There is only one part of the Torah Moshe is not needed to make a Torah. Moshe is just the scribe. And that is Parshas Balaam. Lahaya rak kematik ba'alma. All Moshe was regarding Parshas Balaam was he's a cipher. Wow, how could that be? You're telling me it was Torah before he wrote it down? Yeah. Why? She'ilule sasam HaKadosh Baruch Hu eizek kavanu mi-Bilam. If God left anything ambiguous to Bilam, haya mehavchal ra'chas v'shalom, Bilam through his nefesh, netu'ava, he would have distorted it. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi'ar on the taiva b'fi Bilam b'chol minei kavanas. Hashem had to give Bilam what we call astaklari meira, so that, not because of Bilam's greatness, because of his rishus, because of how dirty and sullied he was, God couldn't trust him. Yes?
So we take a lesson from Moshe acted as a
shliach
of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what made it in the Nevuah of the Torah?
That Moshe
acting as a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or is Moshe himself made it?
The fact that he had the Nevuah, that a Mabel happened, that's what made a Torah.
But it's to remind as a shliach, in other words, where does Moshe's kind of come from?
Moshe's koyach came from the fact that that he's mamish shliach shel Adam k'maisa. In other words, he didn't. His involvement did not in any way lower the nesina. Other navi, Hashem gives it to the navi, but now there is the involvement of Basar Adam. But these people certainly were kadosh v'tar, kadosh kadashim. Nevertheless, it doesn't have the same kedush as Tyra. Moshe Rabbeinu was almost he was anav ma'id. So his non-existence, his bittul was that the fact what Hashem gave him. Right.
He was totally 100% transparent.
Right. Okay, right. Which is another Indian, very big Indian, also.
Future.
Rabbi Isai, I believe, could say very simply, and this is brought down in the Sefer Imreichim, if the only portion of the Torah where Moshe is not needed to make a Torah, but rather he's only needed to transcribe it, is what? Parshas Bilam. We don't need a pay and a samach. The purpose of pay and samach is Hashem coming to Moshe, and Moshe needs revach lehisboinein bein parsha leparsha. If what's making a Torah is the fact that this is the nevuah of Moshe, so Moshe needs time to sift through it. This nevuah, the next nevuah, but Parshas Bilam is not the nevuah of Moshe. What makes a Torah has nothing to do with Moshe Rabbeinu. So you don't need a pein asamach. The function of pein asamach is only to give Moshe, not to give him time because his hand is hurting. We don't have a pein asamach with Moshe. He's writing too fast, his hand is hurting. No, he needs time to be misbinding in his nevuah. Okay, he was misbinding in this nevuah, now it's Torah. He's misbinding in this one, now it's Torah. Parshas Bilam was not near. We didn't need Moshe to make it Torah. It was Torah without Moshe. Like Reb Chaim said, it was Torah already in Bilam's mind. That is why it is the only part of the Torah you don't have a pay in the samach. Because pay in the samach was to give an opportunity to Moshe Rabbeinu to contemplate between one nevuah and the next nevuah what the meaning of the nevuah was. But Parshas Bilam was it's a space in the Torah, whether it's a four letter space or we go, it's a space which represented Moshe needed time to reflect on what Hashem was teaching him. But Parshas Bilam, Moshe Rabbeinu was not needed at all to make a Torah, so we don't need Peis and Samachs and Parshas Bilam. It's really a Gaonistic upshot.
Yeah.
Right, because that already is not the episode of Bilam and... By the way, I saw last night Rav Shach in the Avi Ezri. It's not on the sheet. It's after, like we learned in Rabbi Huda Shita, right? It's the Haidah came before. So the Rav Shach quotes this Maril Diskin in his commentary to the Rambam. There's a famous question. What was the big Nisayon of Avram Avinu with the Akedah? Hashem told him straight. Hashem told him beferish. So what's the big Nisayon? Right, all of the Farshim ask, what's the big test? Right, if Hashem would come to anybody and tell them to do something, of course they would do it. So why was it a big Nisayon for Avram Avinu? Then Hashem tells him, of course, Hashem told him with open words, do this. Says Rav Shach, very pashat. You know what the Nisayon was? Nevuah has two parts. Nevuah is, you see the image, and then you have an intuition of what the meaning is. But the intuition is
the reflection of
is somewhat viewed by your own nefesh. If Avram Avinu had even an iota of a bias, of a negia, of too much of a personal ava for his son, it would have been impossible for him to interpret the nevuah in the correct way. If his nefesh was even tainted in the slightest bit, then when Hashem showed him this image, there is no way he would have been able to interpret it accurately that this is what Hashem wants. The only way Avram Avinu was able to surmise that in fact this is absolutely what Hashem wants is because his nefesh was so pure, without any negios, without any bias, without any personal desires, and he was able to come to the absolute interpretation that this is what Hashem wants. But there's no absolute nevuah. Hashem says, dude, you know, I want you to... What?
Shach is learning in Raldiskin means to say so far that when a Nebuah comes to Dibur, that's the same thing as a Marit. Doesn't come to Dibur, the Dibur comes like a Marit. When he sees a ladder, it's a ladder, so you don't know what the ladder means. When you get a Dibur, Hashem tells Avraham, tells him, it sounds like he got the words clearly. It wasn't an image that he had to interpret and make it into words. Those were actual words about Avraham from the Nebuah.
By the way, the Ramban on Chumash says that the words Vayidaber Hashem Moshe you only find by Moshe Rabbeinu. You don't find an expression Vayidaber Hashem El Avram, Vayidaber Hashem El Gechezka. Why? Because Vayidaber Hashem from the Ramban basically says that connotes Aspaklaria Hamira, absolute interpretation. Right? But you don't find Hashem never told Avram, right? It's Vayomer Hashem El Avram. What's the chilek? I think the Ramban says somewhere. We have to find it, that the word, that is why you always have to Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem HaMoshe. Vayidaber Hashem HaMoshe Lamar doesn't mean, like some Rishonim say it means, Hashem told Moshe Lamar to say it to someone else. Oh, Vayidaber Hashem HaMoshe Lamar, right, the Ramban is commenting on the words Lamar, Vayidaber and Lamar. Vayidaber Lamar means, Vayidaber Hashem HaMoshe Lamar, these absolute words, as opposed to all other Nevi'im, they didn't get absolute words. They only got images with intuitions, but they didn't get perhaps precise words. We'll have to be mayan into that. But that is the explanation of the Maharil Diskin, that when the Gemara says Moshe Kasav Sifrei uParshas Bilam, Parshas Bilam is not a different sefer. Parshas Bilam is not less Torah than other. But Parshas Bilam, we did not need the nevuah and the koyach hanevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu to make it Torah. All we need Moshe for was a matik ba'alma. He was just the scribe for Parshas Bilam, but it had already attained the status of Torah even without Moshe Rabbeinu.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.